Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me today as we continue on in a message, our full portion. And we were looking at some of the regulations that God gave the children of Israel in the book of Leviticus, the 5th and 6th chapter. And you might say, well, you know, we're under the new covenant. We don't need to learn about that. We don't need to be concerned about that. And thank God, isn't that true? We do no longer do we have to come into the presence of the Lord with the blood of an innocent animal to cover our sins, because the perfect Lamb of God, Jesus, gave up His life over 2,000 years ago for every man, woman, and child that would turn to Him. And yet, what we see, the various offerings that were required for the various sins of trespass, that because human nature is the same, and these were the trespass offerings for God's people. They had a holy and a godly law that would set them apart from all the nations of the earth. God wanted to make them the head and not the tail. And yet, human nature, with that sin and carnal nature, the flesh nature, is given to sin. Only when we're in the presence of the Lord will we be delivered from that sin nature. We do have the righteousness of Jesus Christ within us now. Paul said, it's no longer I that sin, but sin in me. He wrestled with that conflict, that dichotomy between the spirit man, the new man, which is created in righteousness in Christ Jesus, who delights to do the will of God, and the tendencies of our flesh nature. And the Bible tells us that the preaching of the cross, which is total redemption, to them that perish, it's foolishness. But we see that God ordained His commands for us because He is a loving God who knows us intimately, who knows our heart, our needs better than we ourselves, and He wants His children to be happy. And He knows, just like as a natural child, requires the boundary of loving parents to direct their lives, to enable them to grow up in a healthy manner, not just physically, but also emotionally and socially. So our God gives us commands for our good, that we can truly be happy, that we can walk in perfect liberty within that perfect law of liberty that He has established in the new covenant. And so, beloved, we have to understand that God wants only the very best for us. But now let's look at one specific sin that God was dealing with under the old covenant. It was the trespass sin of defrauding. And I'll share verses 1 and 2 of the 6th chapter. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, if a soul sin and commit a trespass against the Lord, and lie unto his neighbor in that which was delivered to him, or in fellowship, or in a thing taken away by violence, or hath deceived his neighbor in any way, or hath found that which was lost, and lieth concerning it, and sweareth falsely, in any of all these that a man doeth, sinning therein, then it shall be, verse 4, because he hath sinned and is guilty, that he shall restore that which he took violently away, or the thing which he hath deceitfully gotten, or that which was delivered him to keep, or the lost thing which he found, or all that about which he has sworn falsely, he shall restore it in the principal, and shall add the fifth part more thereunto. And then also verse 6 says, he shall bring a trespass offering unto the Lord. And so basically this covers the sin of defrauding our neighbor. And beloved, we might not realize that God requires of us even under the new covenant, or so much more under the new covenant, that we should be honest in our business dealings, completely honest with our friends, our business associates, our neighbors, our family. It can be in simple things. People don't even think, oh, well, they'll just take some of the office supplies and, you know, they could use, they need that scotch tape or they need that pen or pencil or whatever it is for something at home. Or you can cheat or defraud your employer by doing personal business at work when you should be devoting your time to your particular work as an employee, sending personal emails, coming in late, or just, you know, taking a little bit more time on your break than you should. And you might think, oh, Sister Gladys, you're being too narrow-minded. Well, just talk to the Lord about it. See how he feels. I remember years ago, Brother Glass told me, this was years before he went into full-time ministry, that he had never had a problem getting a job. If he was out of work, he would simply go back to the various places that he'd put an application and just check, you know, to show them that he was really interested. And in one particular job he got, he would just, you know, he'd get to work just a few minutes late. No, we're not talking half an hour. We're talking, you know, maybe 4 minutes, 5 minutes. And this, he just kept doing this. And finally, his employer said, Neil, he said, if you do this again, if you are not in your desk at the proper time, then just go to payroll and get your check. And, you know, I can remember when I was in Bible college, if you were not in your seat, not in the room, not just, you know, talking with others, you had to be in your seat when the bell rang at 8 o'clock, or you would go to the dean's office, the dean of students. So, beloved, sometimes we tend to excuse ourselves thinking these things don't matter. Or how often do you know people that are just consistently late? They cannot be at service on time at a church meeting, for example. I can remember once I was really mortified. We were having services and a particular person was leading songs and I kept saying, you know, we need to start on time. And it was a real battle to get this person to obey that, to be on time. Not that they weren't late, they just would talk and they refused, they just wouldn't start on time. And I can remember a brother came all the way from San Jose and he talked to me after service. He said, you know, and people would come from miles, I mean, sometimes 100 miles to get there to be at service. And he really rebuked me. And I apologized. I said, you're absolutely right. Because he said, people go to great extents to be there when the service starts. And then they sit there for 15 minutes waiting for the service to start. Well, that's not only disrespect to the Lord, it's disrespect to the people who have rushed or inconvenienced themselves to be there on time. And you say, well, you know, I don't think that's all important. Well, beloved, that's not how the Lord sees it. He was very specific under the old covenant that there had to be an actual sin offering offered to the Lord. And sometimes we think these, what we call little sins, aren't that important. But as the Holy Spirit is drawing us closer to his heart, to the Lord's heart, and as we are measuring to the standard of righteousness of Jesus, that's what the whole point of fivefold ministry, that we reach the perfection, the stature of a perfect man, even Christ Jesus. Do you think Jesus would do that? Do you think that he did not give his entire energies, for example, when he was working as a carpenter in his father's shop? Don't you think he was a good son, an upright son in all of his dealings? And so, beloved, this is the standard that we have to be held to, is the standard of Jesus. And of course, actually, even if we are completely honest in all the affairs of our life, there could be other ways that we defraud our brothers and sisters. And we have to understand our adversary, the devil, has caused many Christians to think, well, you know, you've done enough. Look how all that you've given. And I'm not just talking about finances, I'm talking about time and energies. And You know, you could say, after all, I'm just, you know, a working person. Or I just, you know, I work hard all week, and or I'm retired, and I deserve what I've saved up. And I'm, you know, may give my tithes or give a dollar every now and then, but I'm through helping anyone like I used to. Well, beloved, the Bible says we are our brother's keeper. Do you remember the story that Jesus gave regarding the Samaritan and the man who had been practically killed lying in the road, robbed by thieves? The religious person passed by, but the Samaritan saw that poor man and had compassion on him and took of his own money and took him to an inn that he could be cared for until he recovered. The Apostle Paul said that he was debtor both to the Jew and to the Greek. And our adversary, the devil, can cause many Christians to defraud their fellow man by withholding their prayers and their faithfulness to the cause of Christ. Beloved, what we do or don't do now is of eternal significance. The devil's not going to change his character. He's never going to improve. He's never going to be the good guy. He will perish just like God said he would. And if the devil couldn't keep you from accepting Jesus as Savior, if he couldn't keep you down because of oppression or depression, if he couldn't discourage you, he will try to get you to compromise your faithful service to Jesus. He'll try to make you angry. He'll try to make you dissatisfied with your church, with the prayer group, with your preacher, with the elders or your position in the church, or 100 different things he can use. He's willing to let you be a good church member so long as he keeps you from being a firebrand for God and a soul winner. He'll let you wash the dishes in the church or sweep the floors or clean the yard just as long as he can keep you from studying the Word of God. He'll do everything he possibly can to defraud you of your full portion of that living bread and living water, which is Christ Jesus. Well, my time has again flown by, and I must bring this broadcast to a close. We'll continue on tomorrow's broadcast. Thank you for joining me, and I invite you to write and share your prayer needs. I want you to know I pray every day for my UCM partners, for my radio family. And if you've not written and you feel the prompting of the Holy Spirit has a reason for doing that. So won't you take a moment to write? You don't have to write much. Send that email, send that note, and I'll respond back to you. I'll pray for you personally and send back whatever the Lord gives to be a personal encouragement to your heart. Thank you for joining me. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.